Good morning and welcome back to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and as usual, every Wednesday, we talk Texas dairy with Mr. Mike Scouten out of Mission Dairy outside of Hereford, Texas. How are you doing today, Mr. Scouten?
Oh, Bryce, I'm doing wonderful. Always good to be able to talk to the folks at KGNC and spread some dairy news.
Well, thank you for always coming out and giving us a good dairy report, because I know we got some dairies here. So to kind of get us started, as usual, what are the block and barrels looking like for us?
Well, midday Tuesday, we saw that block cheese closed at 226 and a quarter per pound, and that was down 2¾ cents with 9 lots being traded. So a fairly heavy amount of activity and a little bit of a price defense cutoff there, but for the most part, not what I would call a free fall. We've got barrel cheese closing at 234 per pound, and that is down 1¾ cents and no lots being traded. So that tells you that the inventory on barrels is probably a little bit tighter, and the price for barrels is usually 3 cents below what we normally see on blocks, and we are at 8 cents above. So I think that we may have a chance of a rebound on the block price. Going over to the non-fat dry milk, it closed at $1.73.5 per pound. That was unchanged, one lot being traded. Butter closed at 261 per pound, down a half a penny with 3 lots being traded. And finally, dry whey closed at 56¾ per pound, down 1¾ cents with no lots being traded.
Now, I know that a huge report that you get every week is the dairy products reports. How are we looking out on that for the consumers and the producers?
Well, on the dairy products report, I think it was fairly bullish on the cheese side, but a little bit bearish on the butter side. We'll go into a little bit of depth on that. On the American-type cheese for the month of March, we saw that production was down 1.4% year-over-year, but up 7% from the February numbers, or 31 million pounds greater than February. And that compares to a 5-year average that normally sees the February to March increase about 41 million pounds. So 10 million pounds under the 5-year average. On the cheddar, we pretty much had a similar situation where we were down 3% year over year, up 6% or 19 million pounds from the February production. And that compares to a 5-year average that normally sees the February to March increase right at about 26 million pounds. So again, 7 million pounds below that five-year average. Mozzarella, just a little bit different, a little bit more production there. We saw that it was up 3.5% year-over-year and up 13% or 47 million pounds from the February numbers, and that compares to a five-year average that normally sees the February to March increase of about 43 million pounds. So we were about 4 million pounds over on the mozzarella production, so the shift from cheddar and American went right into the mozzarella. When we look at the total cheese picture, though, it still came out to the bullish side on pricing. It was up 1% year-over-year, up 8% or 91 million pounds from the February numbers, but that does compare to a 5-year average that normally sees the month-to-month increase of 114 million pounds. So a good omen as far as pricing on the Class 3 for cheese prices. On the butter, just a little bit different, though. We saw that it was up 1.5% year-over-year and up 10.5% from the February numbers, or up 19 million pounds. And that compares to a 5-year average that normally sees the month-to-month increase of about 11 million pounds. So we were 8 million pounds over the 5-year average. So that was a bit bearish on what we saw on the butter pricing. And we saw some of that reflected in CME butter pricing, as we spoke of earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Going over to the skim milk powder, it was down 11% year-over-year, up 11% or 23 million pounds from the February production. And that compares to a 5-year average that normally sees the month-to-month increase of about 23 million pounds. So right on schedule with the powder product. And then finally, in the dairy products report, human whey was up 6% year-over-year and up 16% or 11 million pounds from the February numbers. And that compares to a normal February to March increase on the 5-year average being about 4 million pounds of an increase. So way over on that one. And some of that has to do with that shortage that consumers are seeing on infant formula out there in the market. And some of that whey is actually some of that 85% high protein kind of concentrate whey. So good to see that we're getting production kicked up on that one.
So just a little side question. How are you thinking future-wise consumers are going to see a little more dairy products, a little more something? I know I've seen all over social media about the actual infant formula problem. What do you think consumers are about to see coming in a few months, a few weeks in the dairy aspect at grocery stores?
Well, some of this was driven by the recall of infant formula from Abbott Laboratories. So that made an immediate shortage on the market. But the dairy industry is really good at picking up on market signals and switching over in its plants to start making some of that WPC-80 and getting into those formulas. So I think that there's a really great chance that we could get caught up sometime in the next 45 to 60 days. So if everybody just kind of rations out what they're doing and doesn't hoard it, we should have enough to maybe get through this next 60-day shortage.
Which is amazing. And I know as a global aspect, we are facing numerous issues on all commodity trades. How are the export reports for the dairy industry looking at?
You know, I thought there were a very bright spot in what we had in March. The U.S. cheese exports totaled 92 million pounds in March, and that was 13% higher than what we did in 2021. Which are the highest monthly level on record. So what it means is that we had the world's cheapest cheese, the world had a demand for that cheese, and we were under world market, so we were able to export quite a bit of it. At the year-to-date point at the end of March, we are at 229 million pounds, which is also a record for the first quarter as well. The sales to Mexico comprised most of the additional volume, with 63 million pounds going into Mexico for the first 3 months. And that is up from the 50 million pounds that they did in 2021. As we look at our highest customers or our most steady customers, Mexico being number one, South Korea being number two, and Japan being number three, and the average trade value on that cheese was $2.10. So if you can recall when we spoke of earlier, we're seeing blocks currently trading at the 226 number. So that does mean that we were trading at a bit of a discount to where some of the world markets are at. So that should help us with exports. So the same thing was true with butter. The butter exports rose to 13.5 million pounds. That is 47% higher than we did just a year ago, and it is the largest monthly volume that we've done since April of 2014. So the year-to-date volume total is at 32 million pounds, which is nearly half of which went to Canada, about 15 million pounds of it. U.S. butter imports, on the other hand, also went up about 46% and compared to what they did in February. But they have remained 12% below what we did in March of 2021. The largest customers that we obviously have in butter are Canada, Bahrain, and South Korea. And the average trade value on that butter, it was $1.98. So those were contracts that were done previous to where the market started to make its move upward, because butter now is currently trading at $2.61. So that $1.98 value was an extremely good value. You could see where you would want to get that into your cold storage if you were a country that was buying that. Over on the milk powder side, we saw that it was at 177 million pounds for March, which is up 26% month over month, but down 7% from what we did in 2021. That marks the fourth consecutive month of year-over-year declines for the powder sales. The sales to Mexico reached about 64.5 million pounds, 9% higher than 2021, but not near enough to help us pick up what we were shorted on some other countries. Leading customers for our products are Mexico, Philippines, and Indonesia, and the average trade value on the powder was $1.65. Finally, dry whey, the product that we spoke of earlier that goes into infant formulas and whatnot. The exports came in at about 43 million pounds, which was 18% lower than what we did in 2021. The year-to-date volume is at 103 million pounds, which is down 23% from last year. Dry whey sales have suffered, but the WPC 80 exports have jumped to 34 million pounds, and that is the best monthly showing we've seen since December of 2020. And that goes back to what we spoke of earlier, the infant formula and that high protein concentrate into it. And as we look at our customers for our whey products, it is China by far the largest, and then followed by Canada, Indonesia, and Vietnam. And the average trade value on that whey was about 60 cents.
Well, I know every week we dive into about class threes and four products for milk. Can you go in a little bit about the report for those class threes and fours?
You bet. Class threes reflecting just a little bit of the downward trend off the fall off of the block price. We're seeing the May trade at 24.70. We're seeing June trade at 23.77. The third quarter opens up in July at 23.55 and finishes up in September at 22.87. We're seeing the fourth quarter open up in October at 22.77 and finish up the year in December at 21.88. And as we move into the first quarter of 2023, we're seeing January open up at 21.10 and close out in March at 20.18. Moving over to the Class 4 side, we're seeing May trade at 24.55, June trade at 23.85, the third quarter opening up in July at 23.85, and closing in September at 23.75. Going into the fourth quarter, we've got October opening up at 23.20 and finishing up the year in December at 22.32. And then as we step into the first quarter of 2023, we're seeing January open up the Class 4 price at 21.50 and finish up in March at 20.60.
So lately, I know on Washington and Capitol Hill, a big discussion is about the farm bill that is being written for the following year, and a huge portion of it comes from basically crop insurance or protection plans. And I know that the dairy industry has their own aspect. So what's the dairy revenue protection looking like for these producers?
Yeah, you're quite correct. That is exactly the revenue protection plan is equivalent to the crop protection plan for the dairy industry, and it is an opportunity to have somewhat subsidized insurance policy for the price of milk. And as we look at it on the Class 3 side, we're seeing quarter 3 trade at $21.99 for 37 cents. We're seeing the quarter 4 trade a $21.26 for 47 cents. And quarter one of 2023 on the Class 3 is trading a $19.57 for 55 cents. Going over to the Class 4 side, we're seeing that quarter 3 is trading a $22.60 for 36 cents. I think this is the true value on the entire board of all the revenue protection right now. When we go into the quarter 4, we've got $21.57 for 56 cents. And then quarter one of 2023 is trading a $19.98 for 67 cents. If I were going to pick the best value, I'd say Class 4 quarter 3 at $22.60 would be a very good value.
Well, again, Mr. Scouten, thank you for coming out, as always, to talk a little bit about the dairy industry and kind of what producers are looking like.
Oh, my pleasure, Bryce. And stay tuned for next week. We'll be talking about the milk production report and more than likely, the following week, we'll get into the cold storage report.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC studio. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your day.